going to be a hot summer, and I ain't talking about the weather. This is Video Nasties. Last night I started Hand of God by John Woo, 1976. Also features Sammo Hung, who seems to be in every Golden Harvest movie ever made. Although, obviously, he did not direct this one. This is indeed a Golden Harvest production. I don't know what John Woo's relationship with Golden Harvest is. This is an early John Woo film, and I don't know too much about the early part of his career. And like I said, I don't know much about his relationship with Golden Harvest. But what I can tell you is that this movie is action-packed. I mean, like all of John Woo's movies, it's dope, it's masterfully directed, and the action scenes are incredible. In this case, I don't actually remember too much from the movie. I just remember a lot of action, like pretty much right off the bat. Like there's some kind of introductory stuff, whatever it is, exposition, maybe character stuff, but then boom, we're into it, and it's like kung fu. When I say action, I'm talking about hand-to-hand combat and a lot of it. So that's Hand of God. Maybe the title is indicative of this. I don't know, maybe 25% into the movie, so I still have a lot more to watch, and I will get back to you after I do said watching. So thank you for listening. This is Video Nasties. My name is Maxwell Haddad. Peace. As soon as I saw the title written down, I knew I was fucking something up. It's not called Hand of God, it's called Hand of Death. I apologize. So once more, this is Hand of Death from 1976, directed by the great John Woo. I want to talk about Succession for a minute. I think the show was always leading to, I guess it's episode 4, season 4. I've only watched episode 1, season 4. So I'm not caught up by any means. And this is heavy spoilers on this episode. If you've never seen Succession, maybe don't listen to this part. Brady Snell has spoiled it on his podcast, so that's how I know what happened, which is that Logan Roy dies, apparently in episode 4. Now, the whole show had kind of been leading up to that. It's called Succession, for Christ's sake. So, like, one of these kids has to inherit the company. And he clearly wasn't letting go of it, so he had to die in order for that to happen. And I think I said previously on the pod that maybe Succession didn't need a season 4. I don't know if that's true. I was going off of what Brady Snell said a little bit, which is something to that effect, but then he kind of redacted it and said, oh no, season 4 like gets really good, there's some really strong episodes, and obviously the episode where Logan Roy dies is very important. Now, I guess I shouldn't really speak on it until I've watched season 4 in its entirety, and season 3 in its entirety for that matter. I don't know if season 4 is totally out yet. I don't think they've had the series finale yet. I bet that's going to be pretty crazy. Maybe that's when we'll finally find out who the company is going to. My guess is Shiv. I wanted to go to Kendall, but anyway, I'll see what happens. That's Succession on HBO. This is Video Nasties. I'm Maxwell Haddad. Thank you for listening. See you in hell. Peace. Demon Lover is a 2002 film directed by, I'm pretty sure it's Olivier Assayas, or Assayas, unless it's Oliver Assayas, I don't know. Assayas, I don't know how to say his name. So I'll say Olivier Assayas, and it stars Connie Nielsen, Chloe Sevigny. It also features the guy who played Ichi in Ichi the Killer. I'm fairly certain it's him. At first, I thought it was the other guy, whose name I also can never pronounce. Tadano Asano is his last name. Tadabano. I don't know. But it also featured, yeah, I think that was everybody who I could recognize and name. So, this is a really interesting movie. It combines some things in a really interesting way. So, it's part a kind of espionage, international intrigue thriller. It's part noir. There's some romance. And it also... it also dips into action a little bit, and maybe horror as well. And it also deals with a kind of, as I said, it's from 2002, it deals with a kind of transition into the digital age. And I think it does that in a really interesting way. So I guess my introduction to Demon Lover was my mom watched it way back in the day, on demand, and she hated it. She said it was disgusting, and I never knew why. I always kind of thought, Demon Lover, what's that? What's that movie all about? I don't know. I mean, based on the title, you could deduce that it's a disgusting movie. For some reason, I always thought of it as kind of like a cool indie movie or something. Cool indie thriller, just based on the title, Demon Lover. I didn't know anything else about it. And in fact, I didn't really know anything else about it last night when I watched it, going into it. So it took some very surprising turns, and it kept me guessing. And I just thought it was a really interesting movie overall. I thought it kind of dealt with themes of control. I think that's what the movie is about, essentially, is control. And controlling other people, and controlling outcomes, perhaps. Or just, like, maybe, like, attempting to control your own reality, something like that. Now, in terms of other themes, right? So, identity is definitely one. I love it, and this is one of the things to me that film does better than any other medium, is it deals with identity in this kind of unique way, and specifically in the case of this movie, I love something that this movie does, which is it shows you a character, it shows you an actor playing a character. And at first you think they're one thing, and then they kind of like show up way later in the movie and they turn out to be something completely different. Now, there are a few characters who this happens to. One of them is the guy who's flying the helicopter at the end. For some reason, that's the one that sticks in my head, is just seeing him at the end. And he doesn't have any dialogue, I don't think, after his kind of like one scene in the movie, besides, you know, before the ending. So... let's see, what else? See, this is the part that I would normally cut out, but I like to just keep it loose here now, here on Video Nasties. And today's episode is a podcast, by the way. I hope you enjoy. Smoke up. Smoke one for the homies. So, on the dead homies. On the dead homies. I'm just trying to, like, gather my thoughts. I am really fucking high right now. And I was going to sing something else, too, on the pod, but I can't remember what it was now. Kind of wanted to get more into singing. I heard Clocks Today by Coldplay, and I hadn't heard that song in so long. I heard it at work. It was, like, really cool to hear it. I love early Coldplay and love that song. All right, back to Demon Lover. So... anyway, all right, so I obviously figured out what my mom found disgusting about the movie, which is the thing that was kind of the most interesting thing about the movie to me, which was the parts of the movie that dealt with this company that made adult animation. And in this context, adult animation means animated pornography. Some of it, like, tentacle porn and stuff, and just, like, eel, like a woman falling in a pool and getting fucked by eels, and it's all very, like, kind of weird and dreamlike and kind of, like, twisted and fucked up. And it always seems like it's just... I don't know, almost like you can't go any further, and then it does, and I don't know. Kind of bizarre shit. Some of it is blurred out, some of it is edited. I guess, I mean, I'm sure somewhere floating around there is an unedited version of this movie, but I guess kind of like the standard version, the version that I watched on the Criterion Channel last night, it's blurred out. The actual, like, genitalia and, like, the actual hardcore penetration, like, that sort of thing, that's blurred out in the kind of, like, whatever, wide release standard version of this movie. Otherwise, it would have to be NC-17, it would have to be classified as pornography, so on and so forth. I don't know, I guess. I mean, I don't know if this movie's even rated. I can see why they would have to edit it out, especially then. Now, speaking of 2002, I do think the movie, I mean, is it dated? No, I don't, I mean, yeah, it is a little dated, but I think it just kind of deals with, as I said, the crossover into the digital age, but also it just, like, deals with technology in a really interesting way, I thought. And deals with the internet, really, and just kind of move into 3D animation, motion capture. Now, the big thing is, of course, what is it called again? Oh, VR, virtual reality. So, VR porn is, like, the big thing in porn now. But anyway, that's a whole separate thing. So, hold on. I'll get it back. Yeah, so this is animated pornography. Yeah, and they're moving into 3D animation. Okay. So, I'm going to give away some things in this app. What's happening, alright, it's really interesting to me the way this movie is done, the way it's written, the way it plays out. I love that you don't really know what's going on at first. I mean, you really don't know, and, like, you slowly learn, you slowly, are kind of, like, drip-fed information. Things are slowly revealed in kind of a noir fashion, and I just think that's really interesting, and it kept me guessing, and I couldn't really figure it out. I mean, I think I, you know, maybe figured out some things, but it really, was a bit of a head fuck. A bit of a head fuck movie, which I love. So, that's a made up genre by me, but it's probably one of my favorite genres. Mindfuck movies. And this kind of fits into that. So, right, so, okay, ostensibly, there, or maybe just not ostensibly, there are these two companies. They both produce, one of them's in Japan. It's never, I don't think it's ever said where the other one is, or it's never revealed, and they both produce, I guess, animated pornography, and they're in competition with each other. And they hire Connie Nielsen to be this kind of, like, double agent, this kind of, like, not an insider, what do you call it, undercover kind of agent. So she's working for this one company, being paid by this one company to spy on this other company and feed them information about this other company, their competition. So she's working for this one company. Ostensibly, she's working for this one company, but she's really working for this other company. And at the first company, she's working under this boss named Karen, who in the first scene of the movie, she drugs. And then a briefcase full of files are stolen from her. And they're trying to incriminate this company. The one who's secretly paying her is trying to incriminate this other company, who everybody thinks she works for. And trying to get them sued, or maybe they are actually suing them. It's not, I don't know. It was never really clear to me. And I don't know if that's intentional or if I'm just an idiot, but I never really understood that. And there were some other things were never clear to me, but that might've been intentional though. So on the part of the filmmaker or filmmakers. So So the one company, what the fuck was I saying? Oh yeah, so they want to sue the other company and say that they're depicting minors, but these are, as I say in the movie, these are fantasy characters in a fantasy world. So how can they be minors? And they say, well, they have pubic hair. Or rather, they don't have pubic hair. And anyway, these are the kind of things that they're trying to argue and get this company in trouble. And apparently this did happen about 7 years ago with the company. Anyway, I guess, as it turns out, the files are airtight and they're never able to sue them. Or maybe they are. I don't fucking know. I don't think so. I don't know. Maybe I am just an idiot. I don't know. I couldn't figure out some of it. But I got the movie. Like, you know, it totally kind of fucked my mind and totally made sense to me on, like, a deep cosmic level. So, really, I love the imagery. I love the aesthetic of the movie. I love the kind of leather bodysuits. I love Connie Nielsen climbing over a balcony to get information. Like, she's like this little spy, almost like this little fucking James Bond / superhero. Not superhero, but like, I don't know. Almost like doing some Ethan Hunt shit or something. It's like something you would see in like a much bigger spy movie, like Mission Impossible, for example. But they only have like one scene of it in this, but it was like kind of my favorite scene. So if you've seen the movie, you'll probably know what I'm talking about. It's the scene where she climbs over, or around rather, this like metal, spiky, kind of grating, and gets onto this other landing, this other kind of fire escape or balcony rather, and breaks into the apartment of one Gina Gershon. Who I guess is like one of the higher ups at this company that Connie Nielsen works for or something. And she flies into Paris or Tokyo, wherever the fuck they are. I think Paris, with this other guy, who's the guy I was talking about, who's the helicopter pilot at the end, flying the helicopter at the end. So I don't know. That's Demon Lover, folks. I just like, whatever I just said was a kind of convoluted mess, and I'm sure this movie is a convoluted mess to some people, but to me it made perfect sense. Well, not perfect sense, but it made sense to me, as I said, on a deep cosmic level, or nearly cosmic level. This is Video Nasties. My name is Maxwell Haddad. Thank you for listening. I think that's it. I'm trying to think if I have anything else to say about this movie. I'm sure I have a million other things, but I am gonna cut it short, at least for now, but I'll be back. Peace.
This has been a production of Reptilian.